Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon, a conversation about all the good things in the bluegrass with your host, Mike Warner.
Welcome to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon in the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike Warner, Principal Broker at Warner Realty, co-owner with my son, Chris Warner of Warner Builders. We are your local, family-owned and operated real estate and construction company located right here in Lexington, Kentucky. It's always good to have guests. It's always good to have guests who are friends, and we've got that today. We've got Wilson Sebastian on here. Welcome.
Pat, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's so cool having you. I've got so many things to talk about. Willie's being one. I miss the North Broadway location so bad. But first, I would just like to let our listeners kind of know a little bit about you. Did you grow up here in Lexington?
Yeah, sure did. Born and raised.
Yeah.
Went to Henry Clay High School.
Fantastic.
And
did you play any sports?
You know, I didn't. I wasn't really quite good enough to, you know, make the Henry Clay golf team.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't stop me from trying.
But, yeah.
You know, the sports over there were pretty strong.
Yeah.
So they kind of excluded me from it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tommy Warner wanted to make the Henry Clay basketball team, but 5'8" wasn't.
Right.
He made it to the final cut, and then they just looked how tall he was, and like, you're out. So,
pretty
competitive.
I did a stint at boarding school, and then I did get on the golf team there.
Oh, good.
In New Jersey, and we actually won the prep state championship.
Fantastic.
That year, so that was fun, but no, not quite good enough for big school.
Well, that's cool. So after high school, did you go to UK?
I did. I went to Centre College for a year.
Nice.
And then transferred to UK.
Yeah.
And, you know, where we all bleed blue and all that good stuff, of course.
Yeah. Well, Centre's a great college, though,
it
too.
Is. Yeah. Unfortunately, as a young man, I wasn't smart enough to realize how lucky I was to be there. It's a really special place.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many incredible friends from that year, to this day I just adore. So,
well, we've had, I told you we had Travis Adams on here from Trifecta Glassblowing. He graduated from Centre.
Yeah.
And studied under a world-renowned glass blower. I failed to know his name, but like right here in Central Kentucky, like he's trained under a master. So
yeah, he is Stephen.
You're on it.
I can't remember his last name. I believe he's passed, but
he has.
He was the number one, I think, glass blower in the world.
I know.
It was really fun to see him. You know, we would go just from our dorms over to watch his, sessions where he would do his thing. And it was amazing what he was capable of doing. And I think, several of his pieces are still at the college of display.
And they're at a lot of great places there. Maker's Mark, they're all over. I mean, he's
all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world, He what's the glass in Italy, not Venice. What's the island out there where they blow glass?
You're right, it's Venice.
Cool. Well, anyway, it's quite interesting to watch them with their torches and rolling the glass and, doing their deal. But so after college, what happens?
So I went to work for a friend of yours, mm-hmm. actually, a terrific person and a mentor to me, Barry Potter,
mm-hmm.
and he owned a great heating and air conditioning
company, the best,
Coleman Smith it was called,
yeah,
and he really took me under his wing,
mm-hmm.
and taught me that business, and I was there for 8 years before I completely lost my mind and decided to start the honky tonk.
Yeah.
So that began another 8-year journey, which I refer to as the lost decade. But you're familiar with it.
I mean, I think about it all the time. I was living out Paris Pike, and I would leave work and stop in Willie's and get barbecue and go home. I mean, it was a dream.
Yeah, we had many good chats at the corner of the bar there.
It was great.
We've all got good memories there. Some of mine are the open mic nights. Danielle used to
play. Oh, sure. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the great talent played there. I mean, you had some great bands.
We really did. I mean, Central Kentucky is so blessed.
Yeah.
And, you know, what this radio station is all about, really, mm-hmm. is, you know, part and parcel of supporting that.
Yeah.
And I think that the community really does rally around their artists here mm-hmm. in a way that I think is pretty unique.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, so lucky to have all of these artists here, and some of them have gone mainstream.
Sure.
It's fun to see that. But yeah, we did. We were lucky enough to host in those, you know, that tiny little place.
Yeah.
You know, some real talent.
I mean, Arthur Hancock played mm-hmm. there. Yeah.
Yeah, so Artie actually was involved right at the beginning with mm-hmm. me and helping getting that whole thing off the ground.
Yeah.
And he was a really important part of it.
Yeah. The beginning. Yeah, he's a great guy, great friend of ours, too.
It's oh,
been,
yeah.
It's been fun. So you, you then, Willie's, you hire us, thank you very much, to build the new Willie's on Southland Drive.
Right.
And it was great. It was absolutely awesome. I miss it too.
Yeah. You know, we, you know, worked our tails off.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a small, you know, restaurant operation, at some point you start thinking, okay, how are we going to make money?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, is a big time restaurant operator, Lee Greer,
mm-hmm.
You know, was interested in Willie's and we
yeah.
had several discussions, and the property on Southland Drive became available.
Yeah.
And he said, well, do you want to do this? Do you want to go in and we'll, you know, see if we can't, you know, build you out a bigger building and, you know, kind of take this to the next level.
Right.
And, you know, I was very excited to do that. Also a little bit scared, you know, stepping
sure.
out of your comfort
yeah.
zone with, you know, really, truly restaurant experts.
Mm-hmm.
Another partner that came over from their group, Brian Barker,
mm-hmm.
was you know, very integral and involved in, you know, just worked so hard in getting that place every chance that it would possibly
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
Our staff was fantastic.
The best.
But it was a much larger operation. You know, the staff, I think we had, you know, on a good night on Broadway, fully staffed, maybe 3 people in the kitchen. You know, we had 16 at Southland Drive.
Oh, my gosh.
So we were going from serving, you know, 45, 50 seats to, you know, 135.
Yeah.
And we're on a 2-hour wait Friday and Saturday nights.
So, mm-hmm.
It's just the scale of it was hard for me to wrap my mind around.
Yeah. You know. You had great stage there for entertainment.
We did. We were able to, you know, build a bigger stage. And because the room was bigger, we were able to attract some groups that maybe we didn't have a chance of getting, mm-hmm. You know, otherwise. And, you know, it really didn't have the kind of rootsy feel. You know, you mentioned
yeah.
the open mic nights and the jam nights that we used to have on North Broadway.
Yeah.
They were really special. That place lended itself to doing that kind of thing.
Sure.
And when we moved into Southland, it was a little bit more neighborhood friendly,
mm-hmm.
Less edgy. And
yeah.
I think that, you know, we kind of probably lost a little something there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the big shows went, you know, we had the biggest one ever dreamed about.
Yeah. So. It was special. And you all were so, the hospitality there was wonderful. The years you were there, when the Army-Navy game came in football, I would always reserve that room with the big TV on the wall. And y'all would bring in all kinds of – and everybody, every retired military guy in Lexington would show up there.
Right.
And y'all would have wings and free beer. And
the Garage Mahal.
Yeah,
Ryan
the
Barker
Garage Mahal.
The Garage
yeah.
Mahal.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, we had – what was there, like nine 60-inch TVs?
There were nine, and that was really cutting-edge technology.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of LeBron James's setup in his basement and his, you know, mansion, wherever that is. And, you know, and one of the fun things about, you know, going with the bigger group is, you know, it's like, I got to have this. This will really help us. You know, we'll have this giant TV wall.
It was awesome.
We could divide it up and have nine separate, you know, things going or just one giant picture. Yeah, that was fun, you know, especially for UK games.
Oh, yeah.
The Masters and things like that.
So. Well, I tell you, the Army-Navy game, like I say, you all appreciate and thank you very much for the hospitality you showed the military community here in Lexington, because we would pack that room. And it's amazing to me, you know, I'm Air Force, so I can just cheer for whoever's ahead, you know, whoever's winning the game, I'm for. But the guys in the Army and the guys in the Navy would get in that room, and it was like UK Tennessee. I mean, people were just so excited about the rivalry and the history of that one game. You know, that's the only Division I game on that Saturday.
Right.
It's the after the last game of the season and before the bowl game start, they have that one Saturday set aside for America's game. And just thank you all for making it available, because I never paid for anything. I don't know if I was supposed to or not.
Yeah, actually, I brought it.
Did you bring me a bill?
Me, yeah.
But, I mean, there was always wings and beer and food available. And it was really fun to get that kind of group there.
Well, I mean, that's really what Willie's was all about.
Yeah.
I mean, some of my favorite memories, you know, lots of people might remember, you know, the fundraising that we would do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone, you know, a local person would be injured, you know, we would do a fundraiser for
them. Yeah.
If an artist, you know, a famous artist passed away, we would do a special event and raise money for a charity, hurricane victims, fire victims.
That's special.
We were doing that all the time. And the, you know, again, back to the local musicians, they were always, you know, eager to participate in those events. And, they would, you know, go on for hours throughout the day. And, you know, we raised quite a bit of money for some special causes.
Well,
that was an important part of it.
It's unbelievable. So my understanding is that you all were supposed to play golf today, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
It feels like a lifetime ago, 5:30 a.m.
So, the rain, what happened? Rain?
The rain was
good. Yeah.
It rained out.
So, are you a good golfer? Bummer.
I'm okay. And my handicap's around 5 right now.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what?
The room.
Yeah. So, I've told this story on the air before, but I just think it's just a great story. A mentor of mine, an old man named Jack Graham, he's dead now. He was a World War II pilot, flew B-25s. You know, it was just, by his own admission, he was lucky. His whole life, he was lucky. He was just at the right place at the right time and made a fortune being lucky. And he ended up in his life owning a bunch of golf courses. And he bought a Citation jet, and he hired me to be his pilot, and I was building his house, and I was his pilot, and I was flying all over the country to visit his golf courses. And one day he said, well why don't we play? And Wilson, when I say I'm bad, I'm terrible. You know, my average score is between 100 and 110, somewhere in that range. I wish it was different, but it's not. And so I'm embarrassed about it, because I know that the man who owns golf courses can play golf.
Right.
And so I reluctantly said, you know, Mr. Graham, I'm not that good. I say that, you know, like I say, I shoot between 100 and 110. What do you typically shoot? He said, oh, 72. I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. You know, this old man, it's going to be really embarrassing. So we go out on the course. I agree to it. And we're playing, and we're having fun, and we're talking, and he being a pilot, me being a pilot, we were doing a lot of flying, and somewhere, I'm not really sure where, somewhere on the back 9-13 or something like that, we teed off and hit our shots, and we got in the cart, and we drove up, and he goes, pick up your ball. I said, what are we doing? He goes, that's 72, Mike. I've been shooting 72 forever. You know, he said, that's it. Let's go to the clubhouse. So I think that's the right attitude to have about golf with me anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it really is the most the beautiful sport there is, I think.
There's it really is.
There's no more humbling, you know, experience. The nerves,
yeah,
the finesse that's required, the power aspect of the game. I mean, it's really, there's something for everyone there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell my kids that, you know, golf opens up so many doors that otherwise, you know, wouldn't be open. And it's so important, I think, for young people to get involved in the game.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter if you shoot 110 or 150, you know, as long as you are, you know, out there and keeping up with the pace and, you know, picking up your ball if it's, you know, gone too far, whatever. Yeah. And it just really has been a blessing to me, you know, in getting me to meet all kinds of people that otherwise I never would have met. And I think it's been a really a positive, you know, thing.
Well, it is, and I agree wholeheartedly. I tell people, I'm upfront with the fact that I'm terrible, but I won't slow the game down.
Yeah.
And I'm fun to play. I promise you I'll have fun, and you will too. So I just got my 2-minute warning, so I'm going to just kind of say right here, you know, part of this show is real estate, and Warner Realty is a locally owned and operated real estate company. And we would, if you're buying or selling in Lexington or surrounding counties, we'd love to represent you on that. Our commissions are negotiable, but our service is not. We give you our very best every single time. And it ties in with the construction. We're the only one I know. There used to be a lot of builder realtors. Now I don't know of any except us, but it makes a nice combination because we can help you out on the getting your home ready to sell, or if you buy a house, we can help you fix it up. So give Chris or me a call, 859-421-0800. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
Welcome back. I've got Wilson Sebastian here with me, and we talked about Willie's a little bit. We've talked about growing up here. So now you're married.
Yes.
So tell me about your family.
So I have a great and beautiful wife, Beth Ann, also a Lexingtonian, went to Lafayette in UK.
Good.
And she has two great kids, Tony and Mackenzie.
Mm-hmm.
Tony is 18, just graduated from LCA.
Fantastic.
And Mackenzie is starting, she'll be a freshman in high school next, you know, in the fall.
Yeah.
At Lexington Catholic.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, yeah, our girls went to LCA, and we really enjoyed that experience. It's good, and that's cool.
Yeah, LCA was a great experience. Mackenzie is a cheerleader,
mm-hmm.
and I think that she's excited. Mm-hmm. I think the Lexington Catholic cheerleading team might be a little bit more advanced than LCA right now. So she's kind of excited to, you know, get in there. She's actually at cheer practice right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So how long y'all been married?
We have been married in October it will be 5 years.
Great. Yeah. Fantastic. How long you been married, Colin? You and Leah?
8 years.
8? Colin?
3.5.
3.5, okay. You guys got it made, man. I've been married 13 years. 1 year, and now 22 years. I got 3 marriages that total almost 50 years.
You're a popular guy.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But no, family is so important. I just, you know, it's so fun to have my son, you know, doing this with.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's family is everything to me. And I, so I told you I just got back from Birmingham, Alabama, went down, see my daughter, son-in-law, and 2 grandkids down there. And we took them Saturday afternoon. We took them to the new movie, Milo and Stitch. Milo and Stitch, Milo and Stitch. A great little entertaining movie. But so after the movie, we promised them we would go to a department store and buy something from the movie, like, you know, some stuffed animal or something. So we go, and of course, Cecilia, my little granddaughter, she's 5. She finds the Stitch doll, you know, stuffed animal thing, and it's perfect. And Smokey, finds a rifle. And it has nothing to do with the movie. And we said, Smokey, the deal is, it has to do with the movie. You know, he says, Pops, yeah. So he finds something else, and that was all fine. You think little kids, he's six, and you think these kids just, forget about it and things go on. So yesterday, we're at the pool, and Lad and Smokey and me, and Lad says, I'd never heard of this game. He said, let's play high-low buffalo. And the idea is you tell the high point of your day, the low point of your day, and then something's just interesting. And Lad tells his thing, and he goes, Smokey, what about you? And he goes, well, my high is that, Pops is here at the pool with me. And he goes, my low is he didn't buy me that rifle yesterday. I'm like, come on, don't rub it in. Don't make me feel bad. But I don't know where I was going with that except family. I just think family is such a great it's so important to have. So where do you guys live?
We live over in the Ashland Park area.
Oh, nice.
Chase, yeah.
Yeah. Where?
On Clinton Road.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, so we're all kind of in the hood together there, except Chris is an 03 guy. That's good, though. Awesome. I like it, yeah.
It's a little dangerous.
Yeah.
Nicholasville Road.
That can be. Yeah, I love it, though. I love your house. We saw today, Lee was looking online, and there's a house back near Lafayette High School. It's come on the market. We look in that area all the time. It's hard to find a home for sale over there. Several people looking right now.
They don't last.
Yeah, they don't last at all. So, Wilson, before I go to what are you doing now, a couple of years ago, because this talks about Warner Builders, Warner Construction, called Warner Construction, Warner Realty, you owned a piece of property on New Circle Road and hired us to build a building for you that was a lease back to Drive Time. How's that come about?
So, I don't own the building. It's my mother's building.
Okay.
And I was just helping her out with it. So that's basically what happened. It came available, and we needed to kind of lease it out.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. And then when the new tenant had contacted some contractors and were unhappy with their pricing, I just said, well, I've got the guys for you. They asked if I could help with it, and I said, absolutely. Call these guys. They'll take care of you. And they did a few months later. Call me and personally thank me for putting me in contact with you guys, saying great job you did, and saved them a ton of money. So.
Well, that's we try and treat people the way we want to be treated ourselves.
I mean, of course.
So that's really cool. But thank you for throwing our name in that hat.
You're welcome.
At the time when we finished, they were just using like the front half. Have they grown into the back half?
I don't think they're using the back half too much.
Okay.
I don't think they really need it.
Yeah. Well, good expansion if they ever do.
That's right. There's plenty of room back there for sure.
Sure.
Part of that negotiation, we were able to keep costs down to the way and I both got. We only able to get two cars.
Oh.
We didn't tell you about it.
So Drive Time 2. 2-2. Yeah. Okay. 2's the magic number. All right. Gotcha. So now that aside, what are you doing today?
So I own a radon mitigation company called Radon Delete.
Radon Delete.
That's right.
Okay.
So when the restaurant closed, I went back into the mechanical contracting business because that's what I knew how to do. Mary taught me. And the company that I went to work for happened to be doing radon mitigation. It was something that I was aware of, but I didn't realize, how prevalent it really is in our area. And so I just decided to, strike out on my own and start a radon-specific company. And I was lucky because of my relationships that, I had at Coleman Smith. I was able to get someone involved that is very skilled from that company.
Uh-huh.
And we started it off, and it's been going great.
Great. What's radon? What'd you call it?
Radon Delete.
Radon Delete.
Yeah.
So, for a guy like me, I like to learn things. I know radon's a gas.
Right.
I know it's trapped in underneath our limestone base here. And so, what are the chances of radon being underneath my house in Lexington, Kentucky?
So we're a Zone 1 radon area.
Which means?
And that means that all indoor structures are expected to test over the EPA action level for mitigation of 4.0.
Okay.
4.0 picocuries per liter for a 48-hour average test.
Yeah.
Is what they say, you know, where you need to make your mitigation decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, radon gas, it's a naturally occurring gas,
mm-hmm.
Radioactive. You've got to have two conditions. You have to meet two criteria to have a radon problem. It comes from the breakdown of uranium in the soil, so you have to have uranium in the soil, mm-hmm. which we do,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have efficient soil gas pathways, which we have due to the karst topography
mm-hmm.
and the limestone rock and caves and so forth.
Interesting. So, you would expect it to be in every home. As you go out and test homes, is there a percentage you see around Lexington?
Yeah, so just because it's expected to test over doesn't mean that they all do.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's interesting is I have this conversation a lot. People say, well, I'm buying this 100-year-old house, mm-hmm. so, boy, we need a radon test because it's certainly going to test over. And it's actually that's the older homes tend to test lower for radon than newer homes do.
Okay.
And that's because of the way that they were built. You know, 100 years ago, they are not pouring the basement slab. They're just pouring it right on top of the clay. Mm-hmm. They're not putting good rock underneath the house.
Mm-hmm.
Modern construction practices, you guys, when you're building the house, you go in and you put a good layer of rock on the washed rock.
Right.
Well, what that does is it creates a lot of efficient soil gas pathways. And also, the windows and insulation in an older home
mm-hmm.
are not as tight. So
right.
there's fresh air leaking in all the time from outside, mm-hmm. which is going to lower the radon level.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing now is building these really energy efficient buildings and homes, and we're they're collecting more radon gas, and the concentration is rising because we're not getting the fresh air in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of energy efficiency. So, you know, and then you talk about, well, is it a good idea to mechanically bring in fresh air, like with an
mm-hmm.
ERV or something
yeah,
like
sure.
that?
Mm-hmm.
And we do quite a bit of that type of work. That's also an approved method for, you know, reducing indoor radon levels. Specifically, the way that we set it up might be a little different than if you're doing it just for volatile organic compounds or something mm-hmm. like that. But, the go-to mitigation practice is called active soil depressurization,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we go in and depressurize underneath the basement slab, or if you have a crawl space, we install a membrane that
mm-hmm.
also has to be sealed and depressurize underneath that.
Okay.
So that's how we, you know, we want to create a negative pressure underneath the home
mm-hmm.
and maintain a neutral pressure to positive pressure.
So what's the what is the formula? What do you do when you come into a house? So to simplify this, I live in a 100-plus-year-old house, and I've got air gaps. I mean,
it
drafts, but I also have a crawl space that has it's just dirt,
right?
And so if you came into an old home and my home, for example, and it tests 4.2 or something, you say, Mike. You know, it's above the EPA. It's your choice, but it's above the EPA level. What do you do? Start with a membrane?
Well, the thing about the membrane is, you know, when you have a basement slab, the slab itself acts as the membrane. It's already
mm-hmm.
in place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less expensive for us to core that slab, dig our extraction pit underneath, hook our pipe to it, run it outside, and hook our radon fan to it. Than it is to treat the crawl space because the membrane's not there and we have to put it in.
Right.
And in a 100-year-old house, it's much more difficult to seal that membrane, you know, our wall curtain system that we put in.
Sure.
So, you know, it's labor intensive, and in an older home, too, can you get to all the areas
that's it.
Of the crawl space?
Yeah, you can't in mine.
Yeah, so that's an issue, too. But if you have a basement and a crawl space and you're 4.2,
mm-hmm.
then you know, radon comes from sources deep within the earth, and you always attack at the lowest point first. So we might try to depressurize the basement and see how we do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can leave the crawl space alone.
Is there a method or a system available if you have a crawl space like mine and you can't get to all of it?
Yeah, then you start talking about an ERV.
Okay.
Yeah, if you were just to run piping in the crawl space and vent it out, what that's going to do is create a negative pressure in the crawl space area, which is going to draw more soil gas in and make the radon problem worse. So it's really important that there's some type of barrier or membrane on top to prevent that condition.
Interesting. So it sounds like what I've got's a problem.
Well, I mean,
that's what it sounds like to me.
Only you have a crawl space or basement?
Yeah, we have a crawl space company.
You got both? Okay. Yeah.
You'd be surprised at how effective if you can treat just the basement. Oftentimes, that's all that it takes.
I don't have a basement, though. I've got, and I've just got a crawl space, and it's at the deepest point, it's only about 3 feet deep. At the shallowest, it's maybe 18 inches.
Right.
So, I mean, it'd be really hard to ever get to it. So, I'm thinking maybe the ERV may be.
Yeah, it's a great way to do it. We've had a few homes where there's just no way to do active soil depressurization. ERV has worked. A rule of thumb is you can expect a 50% to 90% indoor radon reduction with an ERV.
Interesting. So a few weeks ago, we had a guy on here named Sam Perkins, a friend of mine, and he treats air in hospitals. He with super effective UV rays, he cleans the air in hospitals. And he was talking about, and from your Coleman Smith days, he was talking about being able to, even in homes, which he doesn't do, but he was talking about drilling a hole through your the side panels of your return air side and putting UV lights in there to purify the air. Is there anything that won't help with radon, though, would it?
That's not going to help with radon. Okay. The UV light is really effective, especially if you can install it to where it's shining on the coil.
Yeah.
Because that's going to keep mold.
That's what he said, yeah. Yeah. Well, very, very, very interesting. Yeah, I'd like to. I need to get you over to my house because I probably have a problem. So then radon as a threat. What are symptoms? What do you, is it like carbon monoxide? You don't smell it?
So it's undetectable by the human senses. The only way to know that you have a radon problem is to test for it.
Mm-hmm.
You can get charcoal test kits from the health department for free.
Mm-hmm.
And do the process of setting that out, and then after a few days, sealing it up and mailing it to the lab.
Mm-hmm.
Those tests can be very accurate, but it depends on how fast they get to the lab. They're measuring a decaying particle, so how quickly it gets there to be tested matters.
Yeah.
Our commercial monitors are digital, and they're testing, sampling the air every hour. For 48 different times for a 48-hour test.
Yeah.
We're going to have, not just the radon level, but also the barometric pressure, humidity, temperature, things that can affect indoor radon levels. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing to keep in mind, too, is the indoor radon level concentration is going to fluctuate seasonally.
Yeah.
Also, when the weather changes, when the wind changes direction, what is the water table doing? Is it way down? Mm-hmm. Is it way up? Is it rising during the test? Because if it's rising, that's going to be forcing a lot of soil gas in.
Yeah. Right?
So that's why nowadays, and what I find myself recommending a lot is there are various residential radon monitors that you can, homeowners can purchase on Amazon, say, and they're pretty competitive with what a commercial professional test would cost.
Mm-hmm.
So, and where we're doing a test for 48 hours, it's really a snapshot, what the house is doing at that time. And so if folks can buy these monitors, they can, monitor it year round to see, whether they have a radon system or not. They may not have a problem in July, but then in December, due to what they call stack effect.
Mm-hmm.
When you're heating the air inside the house and the outdoor air is cold and dense, the heat energy is rising, which is creating more of a negative pressure. pressure on the house than, say, in the summertime when you're cooling the inside and outside. So
cool.
Yeah.
So Radon Delete, how do our listeners find you?
RadonDelete.com is a great place to start. For a mitigation quote or we can help with testing too. They can just click on there, fill out their information, and we'll get that message. They can give us a call, 859-629-8495. If we don't answer, we're very busy. Please just text your name, email address, and your property address.
All right, we'll be right back after the break.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
So we left off talking a little bit about your business, Radon Delete, and how we can reach you. But I'm still interested in, what about my filters in my furnace? Does that help?
It's not going to help with the radon.
Okay.
So a good furnace filter will keep the coil on your indoor unit clean for longer. What Barry Potter used to say, a cheap filter, it's 100% effective on ping pong balls, but, that finer stuff that's getting in there, blowing through those fins and, all the copper tubing that goes in there, it's all soldered together.
Yeah.
When it gets, stuff on there, these little dust particles and things over time, and then it's wet and dry and hot and cold, that can create issues. So a good furnace filter is great for, keeping your HVAC system, prolonging its life, but it's not going to help with radon.
Okay.
Because it's a radioactive gas, as part of the decay process, the radon gas is emitting alpha, beta, and gamma particles. Mm-hmm. And the alpha particles in particular are the problematic ones. Mm-hmm. They're like little tiny microscopic bowling balls that are shooting straight through your body. And it can do damage to your lung tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're worried about when it comes to radon is there's a link between increase in lung cancer diagnoses and exposure to radon.
Didn't we lose a newscaster in the local area a few years back to radon? They narrowed it down to radon exposure. Y'all remember anything about that?
I think
because it's hard, how many people have died of radon exposure that had no idea? People thought they just, passed away of natural causes or something.
Yeah.
But I believe that there was a local newscaster, maybe 5 or 6 years ago that passed away, and they were able to say this was due to radon exposure in her home.
Yeah, I mean, in doing what I do, we definitely have those clients that, when they contact us, they say, our uncle or whoever passed away from this, so we're very concerned.
Yeah.
And then there's the other side of the spectrum. Unfortunately, in our industry, radon problems, because it's not detectable by the homeowner unless they test for it, they're finding out they have an issue when they're trying to sell the house.
Right.
So the home inspectors now, more than ever, are testing for radon as part of what they're doing for the home inspection for the buyers.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, here we've been living in this house for 15 years, and there's a radon issue that we never knew about. So they're upset about that. And then now they're potentially having to pay someone like me to fix it.
Yeah.
It's just part and parcel of the business. So we're working a lot with, folks in the real estate industry because that just tends to be when it rears its head.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of people out there. It's not free of the wrong. You're worried if you have a whole universal.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And along that line, too, I mean, like you said, it's interesting to know that I can order a radon test through Amazon or elsewhere to where I can just put it in my house
and
see.
Well, a device.
A device.
So that you can have forever. And what's interesting is, you know, they're very accurate. When we have homes that are in a real estate transaction that require a commercial test or a professional test or a post-mitigation test, and the homeowner happens to own one of these devices, when we, you know, correlate the results, we find that they're within, you know, 5% of, you know, the level that our actual monitor, you know, our expensive monitors are finding. So, I would say you could buy those monitors and trust what they're telling you with confidence. Yeah.
Well, I need to figure mine out. I know, like I say, I live in an old home on a shallow crawl space with dirt and no ventilation. I would hate to think what mine is, but we do. Lee and I keep our house open a lot, though, too. We're fresh air people. You know, we've got a screen porch, and it's not unusual for us. I mean, we just turned our air conditioning on, you know, recently, and we don't keep heat on hardly at all because we like the cold out.
That's because the weather in Lexington is so
dang cold. It's been April. It's all through May, yeah, but we do keep our windows and doors open a lot, so that's got to help. But it's
that's going to, you know, bring the radon straight down when you open a window or a door. The problem with that is you can't do it.
Yeah. So off the subject of radon, because that's kind of a, you know, radon delete. If you think you have a radon problem or you just want to know, give Wilson a call. But I want to know about Music on the Porch this past weekend. I was out of town. How'd it go?
Great games. A lot of people participated in, I think, 40 or so different events around all over Lexington. Mm-hmm. That was a great 50 Lex event. All walks of life, all different types of, you know, all different types of porches, from local businesses to people over for houses and some places as well. So, really great. We had
I heard you had a band.
Yeah, Dead Air Dennis.
Dead Air Dennis.
Bedford Band.
Who's Bedford Band?
Yeah, called Bedford.
It's a good time.
I know that's who it is.
Michael Jonathan, actually, from New York Conference.
Nice.
He came along as well. He played his song with his daughter. Yeah, so it's fantastic.
So is it not an Ashland Park thing? I guess I thought it was just like Ashland Park, Mintel, Kenwick. Is it citywide?
It was produced in Texas.
Oh, okay. I see.
They see when you put it in.
Yeah.
A little bit more structure behind them and stuff like that. But it was great. There's a lot of different people from out and about, selling bikes and walking and turning open.
Did you have good turnout at your place?
Yeah, I did. Good rolls.
Good. Good deal. Well, today is Saturday the what?
You might know it.
14th, okay. Do we know who won the raffle for the Pappy from the Habitat for Humanity?
I have not heard.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll find that out. I know. We had Rick Clark on here last week, and I think he was going to buy all the tickets. Yeah, we need to check on that. But if you're not familiar with Habitat for Humanity, get involved with it. It's a great organization. We promote it as well as Lexington Humane Society. Anything we can do for them, but that's a plug by itself. But so, what are we drinking tonight, Chris?
Well, tonight we're finishing off the Bardstown Bourbon Company, and I brought in a little secret from my house from Victor's.
Yeah.
Victor's Batch 24C 1322, 2022 most admired whiskey in the world, kind of like Bedford Band.
Bedford
the
Band.
Euro Lexington most admired band of the year. I don't know if you are this year. Oh, no, you weren't this year. You should have been.
Okay, they got you back covered.
Oh, okay. Well, Lexington's second favorite band this year. That's been.
What's the proof on that?
The proof on this bottle tonight is 91.4 and this major small batch.
It's great, and we need to support it. You know, there's been a lot of publicity in the past few weeks about the bourbon industry and how it's reached its peak, and Brown-Forman's taking a hit in their stock, and you know, three distilleries have liens filed against them or have filed bankruptcy. I just want to say, you know, these are not the typical things, and being from Kentucky, and we all are from Kentucky, we all want to promote the industry. I think, and we've been to Barstown Bourbon Company, and that's what one of these is we're drinking tonight. But the what's hurt this is not those, the Maker's Mark, the Four Roses, the Bullet, the, you know, the Woodford Reserve, all those things. It is the investors, just like so many, that just, the investors came in and flooded the market, and that's okay. I mean, everybody has a right to do what they want to do with their money, but they went to these places like Barstown Bourbon, where they will distill your bourbon, and they flooded the market with it, and it's an interesting phenomenon. And the whiskey thief, the small little guys that work out of a barn, like, they're doing great. So we need to keep supporting our local industry, especially the names that have provided so much joy and so much taste for so long. So it's not going to drink itself. But, you know, the brands that we have enjoyed for so long that have been just homebred right here in Kentucky that are on the Bourbon Trail, you know, you just pick any of the ones on the Bourbon Trail, and those are names we really need to support to keep this industry alive and going like we need it to. So, anyhow, back to
totally agree. You know, Willie's at one time was the top 100 bourbon bar.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I drank bourbon there.
Yeah, sure. We had a lot of really great bourbon. It's fascinating, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know,
the history of it and the popularity. And yeah, I don't know. Is it because all the supply is coming online now? That
yeah, it's always effect? That. Jack Graham, my mentor, who I mentioned before, he always said, you know, it's that one law, Mike, the law of supply and demand.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's the so many people thought that, well, this is easy money, and the supply got so big. But what the newsprint is saying is that all of the, again, your Brown-Forman, your Woodford Bullet, Makers, all of the ones that have built this reputation, they're just, okay, we'll just sit on what we got and we'll wait on it. It's the people who, like I say, and I've got friends who invested in these, you know, barrels and barrels and barrels. But yeah, that old law of supply and demand has hit its mark, where it's like, okay, we've got too much supply. Same amount of demand hadn't diminished. We got too much now. So they'll just hold on to it for a while. It'll work itself out.
You know, a little bit of tariffs as well.
Tariffs, yeah.
This is the cycle of life.
Yeah.
Maybe they're still alive and have perfect.
Yeah.
You'll see. I think there's a lot of problems with bottles online.
Oh, it's
the marketing. This is the kind of market bourbon.
Yeah, it's the bourbon industry is not going away by any stretch of the imagination, but they are seeing a little bit of a, you know, a downturn, and it's just, you know, it's okay. I mean, we need corrections. Every industry needs corrections, except the building industry. We just need to keep climbing and climbing and climbing. So,
yeah, but we'll do a job for you.
Yeah, we are. We're blessed is a good word to say it. And we believe in family and believe in that. But we, you know, the real estate industry is interesting as well right now. It's leveled off a lot. Like, everything's leveled off. But if you are thinking about buying or selling, Warner Realty offers something that other people don't. We're family owned, so we make our own decisions. When I say our commission is negotiable, but our service is not, I mean it. If you're trying to list your home, and I was looking on on Zillow today. There's probably 100 for sale by owners in Lexington right now. And that's fine if you want to sell. But the fear, these people are all trying to save money by not hiring a realtor. What the beauty about Warner Realty is we will cut our commissions to make it work for you. So if you're trying to buy or sell, give us a shout. For all you horse farm people out there that are listening in, you know, we build barns. Chris built some of the best barns I've ever seen in my life. He's incredible at it and knows more about horses than I'll ever know. So if you're in the horse business, give us a shout. We'd love to work with you. Wilson, how can we've talked about your business. Is there anything we can do to promote you?
Well, I mean, just, you know, raising awareness about the, you know, radon issue in Central Kentucky. I think that, you know, more people are becoming aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having me today. This has been great. Fun hanging out with you guys.
It's always fun hanging out. So, will there ever be a Wilson's 3?
You know, it comes up from time to time. I don't want to say 0% chance, but, you know, I certainly won't be, if something were to happen, there are folks that are interested in maybe resurrecting it, just because it,
well, it's locally known.
Yeah, right.
It's locally known.
Yeah, I told them.
There's another place on South that we'll talk about often.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, there might be an opportunity to do something with it. I mean, the support is certainly there. It's a very difficult business.
Yeah.
If we were to do something again, you know, I've moved on in my life, and I'm focused on, you know, this company now, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was fun, and you know, if there's a way to bring it back where I don't have to be, you know, involved with the day to day, then it's not outside of the realm of possibility. But for now, we're just going to, you know, rely on our fond memories.
What was the secret of the North Broadway, three people in the kitchen? That barbecue was incredible.
I think so, you asked the secret for the wings. I'll be like, don't say it.
Well, no, I'll tell you. Arthur hired a chef named Ben Berry right out of the gate. And Ben was an incredibly talented chef and was very dedicated to what we were doing. And we had many great chefs, you know, after Ben moved on. And I think that there was the blackberry habanero sauce. You remember that? That was, you know, a Ben Berry creation. That was, you know, quite popular, that wing sauce. And, you know, I'd had a few bourbons a few months ago and just popped onto the Willie's Facebook page.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, I think we have 15,000 followers still.
Nice.
And it was a Lexington Foodies group post and I just responded as Willie's Lex and just gave the blackberry habanero recipe out.
Nice.
You know, and so, but people were like, oh, well, 20 pounds of blackberries, that's not going to be very, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'll have to pare it down themselves because I'm not a mathematician, I guess. But yeah, I mean, we had a lot of really great experiences with that place.
Yeah.
And you know, definitely no regrets, and we're very super proud of it. But, you know, I'd say the chances of resurrection would be low.
Well, I'm going to keep my hopes up. As we close here, I just want to say thank you so much, Wilson, for being on the show, number one. Number two, Warner Realty, Warner Builders, Chris and I, if you're building something, doing an addition, remodeling, horse farms are our specialty. Give us a call, 859-421-0800, or visit us at warnerbuilt.com. And a special thanks to the Hound Radio Station, 96.1. This is awesome. You can catch our show live on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8, right before the Horse Racing Network, or you can catch us on your podcast, wherever you listen to that. So without further ado, we will sign off. 96.1 The Hound.
Listen to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon, presented by The Hound, 96.1 FM. Saturday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. followed by the Horse Racing Radio Network from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.